Right the way across. Good afternoon, brethren. It's a pleasure to be here with the family this year, in addition to what we had 2 years ago, and also with our brother Zoltan Kadar from Romania, which is my father-in-law, so very happy to have him to join us. And also, it's nice to see our brethren from overseas. I've got the New American Standard version, and the note inside the front covers from March 2002, and it says, a gift from Brother Gilbert Rice, San Diego, USA. And I received this Bible at the time of the news of his heart attack and illness. So it's just a joy to have Brother David with us. We're quite fortunate to be here this year. 3 days ago, I thought maybe it shouldn't be so good to come because we're in a semi-drought and was fire hazards, and 3 days later we've had 500 mils of rain and one of the biggest storms in a long time. So thanks to neighbours and family that can take care of our needs, and of course our Heavenly Father knows what we need. My part of the symposium is John, the disciple who Jesus loved. Today we'd like to look into the Apostle John, a man of faith that learned of Jesus Christ and lived his life as a servant of God. The events of his life and his numerous writings of the Holy Scripture have him to be a great example to all Christians today. As we seek Christ, we have a snapshot of Jesus Christ in the Spirit-inspired Apostle John. As it says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, now they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed. They began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. This was in front of the elders and the rulers of the people. The jailing and the testimonies, the healing, the preaching and the trials all helped form the character of John. Today I would like to look at the type of person John was and how he learned of Jesus and review some important messages in his writings and also take some lessons from his life that we should learn for our Christian walk. His faithful service to the new way and ministry and revelation of Jesus Christ is assisting us today and continues to guide the Gospel Age Church at this, the end of the age. When we look at the life of the apostles, we see that they were men called by Jesus to a purpose, and that was to change from their former ways and turn to God. A repentance was necessary, a turning from sin and to God. We know John the Baptist prepared the way to Christ. We all relate so much to this in our own lives. The human factor with John, Christ's disciple John, in his early life changed expressly with his following of the Lord Jesus. He was about to experience some of the most spectacular events in the history of mankind, indeed a foretaste of God's kingdom that would soon fill the whole earth, and for what we pray for, that will usher in the blessings to all the families of the earth. So who was John? John was the son of Zebedee and Salome. James was his brother, and they were in the business of fishing. And it is thought that Zebedee had a successful business and was doing well. In the biblical times, this trade consisted of long, enduring fishing from the boats or seaside and was a humbling trade with a reliance on the natural bounties. They had to work with the conditions of the sea, the unpredictable weather, and tact to be successful. And John, at the time, was a follower of John the Baptist. As mentioned, a pre-runner to Christ. Both John and James left their father and his business and followed Jesus. John chapter 1, 36 to 39 reads, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. Do we continually ask ourselves, Master, where do you dwell? Does Christ invigorate us to leave our earthly ties and to fully give our life to the Master? We are told that John was uneducated and untrained. However, the Master must have seen a special treasure with this man. Jesus had come at a time when the people were looking for a Saviour. In Matthew 10 and verse 36, Jesus says, Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. John was now a follower of Christ, and even given a more privileged role to be named an apostle of Christ. John learnt firsthand the compassion Christ showed for the people. We note at the first advent of Christ that divine intervention was desired by the common people. And even today, many of the groaning creation desire some divine intervention, and especially in places like Africa and Asia. As we know, the 12 apostles were given authority from Jesus to perform special service. Matthew 10:6-10 is some of the instruction John was given. But rather, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Although this raise the dead is not in some of the most early manuscripts. It says, Cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two coats or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. The principle of the word of truth as a gift of God is also applicable here, with its witness and testimony. The heavenly treasure was indeed greater than any earthly treasure or desires. And we also see the harmony of God's daily natural blessings like food and water, clothing and shelter. These provisions beautifully endowed for the 3.5 years ministry of Christ. And that also was maintained with the apostles after Christ had departed from them. Likewise, we are thankful for our daily bread, both spiritual and temporal. We are told in Mark 3, verse 17, that John was given the name of Boanerges, that is, Sons of Thunder. This was because of the zeal he had for his master. John and his brother James were close companions to Jesus, and is even considered that they were cousins. That is, Salome, their mother, was the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. How did John's writings portray his character? We have been given many blessings by the writings of John. He has been given recognition for the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, and the revelation of Jesus Christ, also known as the Apocalypse. John wrote the Gospel records in a very meaningful and careful way. His details and understanding were evident. However, he remained modest. He refrained from bringing attention to himself. The Smith's Bible Dictionary brings the time that this Gospel was probably written at Ephesus to about 78 AD. John supplies a thorough account of the events through a very rich, spiritually discerning text. John shows us, by not including his name in many of the recordings of the Gospel, that he prefers to draw attention away from the situation by giving the highlight and emphasis to the Lord Jesus. John appeared close to Jesus and James, that's his brother, and Peter. As he ministered, he had developed a close relationship and friendship that showed he was true and caring, showing brotherly kindness for his fellow Christian. The epistles of John, notes 1, 2 and 3, were more of John's service to the Lord, considered to be written towards the close of the first century. We note how John wrote instruction for the church on how they can achieve closeness with God, how a union is possible through Christ. John spoke a lot about the brotherhood or the fellowship of like-minded Christians, how they are to remain in the light and not turn to the ways of the world. His gratefulness for Christ was shown by his words and actions. He writes about the importance of overcoming as Jesus did, having an enduring faith through trials and striving for a greater love. The second epistle was a letter from John to a chosen lady. We see John's sensitive and sincere character in 3 John 3 and verse 4. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. John could perceive the true attitudes of others, and this developed trust. Today we need to maintain the truth and trust as a pillar of our characters and in our fellowships. John writes in 1 John 3 and 7, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." We know the purpose of the truth is to bring us unto a godlike character. Perhaps John is most remembered for his writings of the book of Revelation, a prophetic book that signifies uncovering and implies something hidden. The revelation was given to John while he was a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. Again, the biblical historians put the writing of the book to around AD 93 to 96. The persecution of the early church was severe during this time, and John was exiled to this rugged and barren penal colony, virtually without any of his human ties. However, he recorded the vision faithfully, as Revelation 1, 1 and 2 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show to his bondservant the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Even to all that he saw. As we have an opportunity to study the book of Revelation, we are promised for a special blessing from its message. Indeed, the Apostle John must have felt the isolation of Patmos, and yet he knew he was there to experience the fellowship of Christ's suffering and to testify of Jesus and the Word of God as a great servant. It is believed when John was released from prison, he lived out the rest of his life in Ephesus, probably reaching close to 100 years of age. His writings are filled with deep and meaningful message and give spiritual encouragement to the Christian. What are some of John's experiences with Jesus? Well, where do we start? To just contemplate living when Jesus was on earth is a staggering thought. John must have seen the beautiful message and disposition of our Lord from the start of his call to discipleship through to the events and the despair of the crucifixion, to the hope of the empty tomb, to the joy of the reassuring appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. The Acts 3 and 13 scripture states that John could be recognizable as having been with Jesus. Does our character exemplify the Master? Do we daily represent him? Are we ambassadors for Christ? John was close to Jesus and witnessing at the raising of Jairus' daughter, mentioned in Mark 5 and 37. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And Jesus showed great compassion to the people who loved this young 12-year-old girl. In another record involving Lazarus, we note that Jesus had to talk plainly to the disciples and give his reason for the approaching raising of Jesus' friend. John himself records in John 11, 14, "So Jesus then said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.' And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. In verse 33 it says about Mary, where Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And the words, Jesus wept. And the saying, see how he loved him, must have imprinted on John a firm belief pattern. The raising was the outworking of God's Holy Spirit and plan. Another experience with our Lord that we see John was instrumental in was the preparation of the Passover. John was instructed to go with Peter to prepare the upper room for Jesus and the 12 apostles. This would be the last meal together and commence the betrayal by Judas. The arrest and the trial of Jesus was indeed a trial of the faith of all the apostles and all followers of Christ. Matthew 27, verse 55 and 56 reads regarding the death of Jesus. Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. We struggle too with the fear and the confusion to comprehend God's times and seasons. How we call out, oh, how long, O Lord! We seek God's kingdom to come, thy will be done, on earth as it is done in heaven. At the time of the trials, John was deserted as one with hopelessness. However, he came to assist as he was known to the high priest, and Peter, who was also gaining his own trial nearby. The prevailing friendship of Jesus was so strong that in those final moments on the cruel cross with the women standing by, it says in John 19, 26 and 27, regarding himself, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Jesus must have had trust for John to care for his mother. Do we care for our brothers and sisters, our elderly and young, the widows, the orphans and the poor? Do we lay down our lives for our loved ones as John did for Mary? We know that the apostles were at the tomb of Jesus early to confirm it was empty, this after the women had been earlier. And John saw and he believed he was resurrected. However, amongst disappointment and with no leader, the apostles went back to their various jobs. They had neither Jesus nor the Holy Spirit, as it had not yet been given. Then while fishing, an appearance of Jesus as a stranger on the shore, giving instructions, pierced John's heart as he recognized his master liveth. As we have little time, we know John was a disciple whom Jesus loved. I'd like to conclude with some beautiful verses of John. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you, so that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, he has an advocate or intercessor with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet that what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And finally, a beautiful admonition from our beloved John in 1 John 4:21. and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Amen.